Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We give you praise and honor. You said those that you would honor those that honor you. Well, we honor you, we esteem you, we lift you up in our eyes, and we glorify your name. Thank you for being our Father. You are our very own Father, and we are your very own children. We bless you and praise you for it. Help me, Holy Spirit. Strengthen my spirit to bring this message forth accurately tonight. In the name of Jesus. I look to you and depend on you for the spiritual equipment that it takes to fulfill my assignment tonight. Your word. Make it clear so it can be clearly understood and acted upon. And may it be the word of faith and stir faith in the hearts of every person in the sound of my voice. I thank you for it. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Matthew 28, please. Now you remember the centurion that said, I have a sick servant. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Well, see, he wasn't a Jew. He understood that. Because you remember they said, he's really been good to us. He's built a synagogue. So he understood. I mean, he was obviously a Jewish proselyte. But he said, no, now you don't need to come under my roof. He said, I am a man under authority. Now, he was a centurion. That means he is in command of 100 soldiers. So you have a 100. That's, of course, in the Roman army, that was a good rank. It wasn't exceptionally high rank, but it was good rank. And you had to be good at what you do to be a centurion. Because there wasn't just this, these are 100 combat troops. So then you had the other support people of that command, you had and so forth. But then you go up the line, you're going to go from a centurion. Now, I don't know that much about Roman rank. Really be interesting, but anyway. You go up the line, you're going to be stepping up. Each time you step up, there's more people and more responsibility. Amen. So let's say you go from company strength to brigade strength, regimental strength, army strength, division strength. Well, you're going to go from a squad leader to a platoon leader. Now we're talking about a lieutenant, step up to a captain. Each time, more responsibility. More authority. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, we're talking about obedience, right? He said, I am a man under authority. I tell one to go and he goes. I tell another to come and he comes. I say to one, do this, and he does it. Well, he wouldn't have that job if he refused to come and go and do this when the one above him told him. That's the way he became a centurion, was by being a man under authority. Now, why? Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Why do you need a centurion? Because you got problems. You need somebody that can take care of problems on a centurion level. Amen. If he does a good job, he's going up the line. But there's no way he's going to go up the line if he's not obedient in his job. I was having dinner one evening with a retired three-star, and this is a man that, thrilling career. He's came up through the ranks, just a young black kid out of the deep South, and strong Holy Ghost family, but hey, he could take care of business, the way he did it was praying in tongues.
Praise God.
I said, did he give you a lot of slack, particularly back then, the early days, little black holy roller? Oh yeah, he said, I got called worse than that, brother. But he said, you don't pay no attention to that.
Amen.
Because he said, you start solving problems and they can call you anything they want to, but they gonna call you. He retired as a three-star, and the reason they retired him is because they needed him in Washington, D.C. Anyway, he was on duty, artillery officer. He was a captain on duty one night, this is Vietnam, and he had a patrol out. And his patrol leader called him, and he said, boss, I'm in trouble. He said, what is it, Lieutenant? He said, I'm surrounded, and they're listening to me right now, and I can't tell you which way I'm coming out of here, because whichever way I tell you, they're going to be there. What am I going to do? He said, I'll get back to you. So he said, I just stepped outside the radio tent there, and he said, I started praying in tongues and started talking in tongues. Just praying in tongues. Oh, yeah. And he goes back in there and said, Lieutenant? Yes, sir. You a Christian? Yes, sir. Do you know the direction of the star? Yes, sir. You come out in that direction, and I'll have a line of fire for you. He went east. See, he got that by praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said to me, he said, Copeland, I don't understand how Christian, particularly preachers, he said, I don't understand how you guys operate. I said, what are you talking about, General? He said, somebody call me and say, I had rather call anybody in the entire army than you. I hate your guts. I'd rather talk to anybody but you. But you solved the problem that I've got now, and for the sake of the Corps, I need you to help me. And he said he might say to me, well, I'll tell you right now, the feeling is mutual. I wouldn't tell you if I could keep from it. I hate you as bad as you hate me. But for the sake of the Corps, what are they? These are good commanders. They don't let their own personal feelings get in the way. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. go against their own feelings in order for the betterment of the kingdom of God is a good leader. Obedience to the command to the master. Whether you and I like it or not, we're going to stay in unity. We're going to keep walking by faith. And we're going to forget our differences. Glory to God. You may think one thing about an issue and I may think something else. But praise God. Hey, we can think about it. And we don't have to be mad at one another. I don't have to agree with you with everything. You don't have to agree with me with everything. Don't be going around saying Brother Copeland said this and Brother Copeland said that. No. You say Mark chapter 4 said this. Mark chapter 11, Jesus said this. Amen. And if you can't say that, then go around and quote me until you know the verse, until it's marked in your Bible. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. You still with me? Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. The promotion, think about this now. You get promoted from above. I don't care if it's a business, if it's a church, or if it's promotion from God, it's from above.
Amen. That's right.
People get promoted because people have problems that need to get fixed. And if you can't fix something, you're not going to get promoted very much. You're here. I was watching this interview on television one night years ago, and he was a young African American kid on the street. He looked like he's probably 24, 25 years old, something like that. And this person's interviewing him about a job. How come you're not working? Ain't nobody gonna give me a job. Won't nobody give me a job. And the more he talked, the more my spiritual ear perked up here. And I thought, he has no concept of what employment is. He doesn't know why anybody hires anybody. Well, see, the Lord's showing me this because this is a problem that needs to be worked on. I don't care what your ethnic background is. It's got to the place now where it's not being taught anywhere. It's entitlement. You owe it to me just because I'm alive. Let me tell you something, baby. There ain't nobody owes you anything.
Amen.
Unless... I was talking to one of my partners one time. And he was going on about how it wasn't working and all that. And I kind of turned inside to see what the Lord would say. And the Lord said, ask him if General Motors paid him anything last year. So I said, Marvin, did General Motors pay you anything last year? He said, no. I said, how come? Well, he said, they don't owe me nothing. And the Lord said, tell him that's why I didn't pay him nothing last year. He wasn't doing his part of the covenant. Not tithing, not sowing. Well, of course it isn't working.
Amen.
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 A job comes from a person who has a problem and he needs someone to fix that problem for him or her. And he will pay you for doing it. He's not giving you a job. Now, the whole deal here is the more people that can solve that job, the less it's going to pay. You need to be doing something ain't nobody knows how to do but you. You know how my dad used to put it? Work until they can't do without you. Good friend of mine came to work for this ministry, one of the finest aircraft mechanics I've ever known. And his name is Bud Eigelhart. And Bud wanted to be an airplane mechanic so bad. He just, that's what he wanted to do in life. And he had no experience. He didn't have money enough to go to school or get trained. He was just a poor kid out there in Riverside, California. And so he went to the airport trying to find a job. And nobody going to give him a job. Nobody going to give him a job. Because that's all they'd be doing. They wouldn't be hiring him. Because he's not worth his hire. Amen. He don't owe anything. So he goes in and asks the manager. And he said, may I come work for you? I'll work for nothing. I'll sweep your hangar. And I'd like to be here. I want to be around this. And he said, I ain't going to pay you anything. He said, well, I just told you I don't want anything. I'll work for nothing. Well, yeah, if that's what you want to do, yeah. Told him where the broom closet was. And that's about it. Well, he went to work. Work hard. And a great guy. And all the guys just, you know, he just fit right in. And man, and Bud work hard. And man, I mean, he cleaned tools. He was really, and they the mechanics liked him, and they started teaching him things, and they're actually apprenticing him, and he starts passing exams, and he's doing better here. See, well, finally he went into the boss. He said, sir. Would it be all right if I got a uniform? He said, I'm wearing all my clothes out and I don't have many. Yeah, but I'm not going to pay you anything. He said, I didn't ask you nothing. I just like to have a uniform. Yeah, I'll get you a uniform. So now he's at least he got some clothes, you know, where he's not tearing his clothes up. And this went on for years. Finally, he went in, he said, sir, I believe it was 3 years at this time he'd been working. He said, I've been with you and I'm worth something to you now. I'm helping the other mechanics. I've learned things. I'm passing exams and that kind of thing. And he said, I'm asking for the job to be paid. No, I told you I wasn't going to pay you. Well, he said, then I'm going to have to quit and go. So he said, I've got enough experience now. I believe I can get at least an entry-level job someplace. That's all right. Just go get you a job. And, okay, turn your uniform in. Well, he goes out and tells everybody bye. They said, what do you mean bye? He said, well, and he told them what he said. And he said, come on, the whole crew went into the boss's office and said, Bud goes, we all go. He didn't give Bud a job. Bud created a job. And he couldn't do without him. Are you listening to me? Somebody needs something. And if you're a person of integrity and faith, and you'll obey the instructions, amen. Amen. Here you go. But you will never receive a higher authority from someone who's qualified to confer that authority if you're disobedient. Yeah, but I don't agree with the way he's doing it. I don't care if you don't, it's his business. Yeah, but I could do it better and make him more money. Well, maybe so, maybe not so, but you don't do it without going in there and talking. You don't just do it on your own because he wants it done this way. And besides that, how long you been in this business? About 5.5, 6 years. How long's he been in it? 37. Well, maybe that's an advantage or maybe it isn't. Maybe he's gotten old and stayed in his ways. Maybe he does need to hear something. But you don't need to be, you don't need to be messing up his plans by doing what he told you to do a different way. And you sure don't need to be doing that with Jesus. Because he was right the first time. That's the reason he don't have plan B. You may have gotten off on plan B and now you got to work your way back around to plan A. But his plan A was right in the beginning. You still here?
Amen.
All right. Now, Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them saying, all power or authority, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. This is right after he's been raised from the dead. Mark 16, 15 through 20, go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. Amen. What's he doing? Delegating authority to the body of Christ. His authority. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, let's look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Oh, I love the Word of God. My. Ephesians 1, we'll start with the 16th verse. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward or toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, not just above, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now come down to the 6th verse in the 2nd chapter. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Where? Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. Cancer is a name, and we sit in authority far above that name. Poverty is a name. We have power and authority over that curse. Far more than we have any idea about. Glory to God. So where are we seated in the heavenly places? I like to see it in just to make it have a reality in my mind's eye. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, and I'm sitting on the right hand of Jesus. Of course, actually, I'm closer than that because I'm in Him. But then, you see, we're talking about in the Spirit. But when you get to heaven, of course you're in the Spirit. But let me talk to you now a minute about spiritual things, because I want you to see this. Jesus said those things that are spirit, and those things that are flesh are flesh. Amen. Now this room is full of angels right now.
Glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
The spirit beings, they're here. Now here, flesh to flesh is firm. I feel his hand, he feels mine. We can see one another. But you can't see my spirit. My spirit is the hidden man of the heart. Now, here, my angel could shake hands with your angel. Spirit to spirit is firm. They can see one another. They have an advantage over us because they see the whole spiritual spectrum and we don't. We only see a little piece of it. There was a time Adam could see it all. Amen. But flesh to spirit is not firm. Now you get to heaven, it's all spirit. But there's only two flesh bodies up there. One of them's Enoch, and the other one's Elijah. They're still in their physical bodies. But under those conditions, see, their Moses was able in the presence of God. He was able to not eat or drink for 40 days. You can't go without water over about 4 or 5 days and it'll kill you. But in the presence of God, in that environment, he didn't have to drink. And he didn't come down off that mountain weak. Are you following me here? But now what about the glorified body? Jesus was, is, and always will be a man.
Amen.
He was manifested in the flesh in Bethlehem. A man. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He didn't have any more ability to work a miracle without the Father that dwells within.
That's right. That's right.
Than you do or anybody else.
That's right. That's right.
He did everything he did with the anointing.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He didn't do anything as the Son of God except go to the cross.
Amen.
But now when he was raised from the dead, glorified body. But it's still a physical body. It is a physical body. He sat down after walking through the wall Whoa. And this is what I wanted you to get. He sat down and ate. Then he said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone. He doesn't have any blood. The glory is in his veins. Because see, he no longer needs blood for life. The life is in the blood. All of his blood is in heaven. In the heavenly mercy seat. All of it is there. He said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. But to him, spirit to spirit is firm, like it is in heaven. Flesh to flesh is firm because he said, handle me. Huh? He's firm in the entire spectrum.
Yes.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now what we must do is become more and more aware of the spirit realm.
Yes.
So that we become more effective and we're no longer body, mind, and spirit. We become spirit, soul, and body. With your spirit man in the ascendancy, under the tutoring and training of the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Hallelujah. That's the reason the scripture said, set your affections on things above. Because you're already seated there. You're already in heaven. Now, my mom and dad, mama went home to be with the Lord in 1988 and dad went in 2000. And so they've been there a long time. Mama's been there, you know, next August to be 18 years. And what if I were to suddenly get to visit in heaven and I'd say, Dad, what do you think about the last election? He don't give a hoot about that last election. Because it doesn't affect him at all.
Amen.
Now, it did when he's here. It shouldn't affect me.
Oh, glory to God.
Yeah, I ought not get all upset. Just follow the word of God. Do what I'm told to do. Vote, pray, believe.
Amen.
And rejoice.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you didn't vote, shut your mouth. You ain't got any gripe coming. How come me to get off way? Well, I don't know, but this is where the Lord led me, so here we are. This authority. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Let's do that. Let's go over to the book of Colossians. Chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, the cross reference says, or mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've already died and gone to heaven. So quit sweating it down here. You have authority you hadn't even used yet. Now, there's another, thank you, Lord. Well, no, I won't get into that right now. Somebody said, why, you just get so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. That's not what that said. I'll tell you what should be said. You get so religious minded, you know earthly good. Amen. But see, this is being heavenly minded. Instead of having the mindset that I'm down here like I heard Brother Hagin one time talking about his finances. He said, I was not at the bottom of the barrel. The barrel was on top of me. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that have the idea that everything's on top of me. It just don't seem like nothing ever works out for me. I just praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. Oh, nothing happens. I just don't know what. Oh, shut up. Amen. No. We sit, not stand. We sit on the throne of grace in authority with the advocate general royal command in chief of the universe. And we're right there next to him. The scripture doesn't say, come crawling up to the throne of grace. No, it says come boldly. What does that mean? It didn't say come sassy.
Right.
It said come boldly.
Right.
I belong there.
Right.
I'm supposed to sit there.
Right.
I have a place at the table. You understand? That's the reason why people that really just doing everything they do, try to figure out how to get Jesus to heal them. And then the little Syrophoenician woman said, you know, we even get the crumbs, the dog get the crumbs. And so born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, supposedly healing, believing Christian. Oh, Jesus, just give me a healing crumb. Could you just give me a... Quit begging. We're living in the 23rd Psalm. He is our shepherd. Well, I'll tell you, Brother Copeland, now, God meets our needs, but he, you know, not our wants. Oh, you know, and here I am. I've already believed the 23rd Psalm. He is my shepherd and I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Amen. And he's prepared a table before me in heaven. No, this is not a heavenly feast. It's in the presence of your enemies. You hadn't got any enemies in heaven. That couldn't be a heavenly feast. That couldn't be after the catching away of the church. It has to be right here in the rotten here and now, not in the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Pull on up to the table. I'm not getting under that table for crumbs.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Pull up to the table.
Praise God. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you pass me some of that healing, please?
Glory. Yes.
See, Jesus said, didn't he say it to the Syrophoenician woman? Healing is the children's bread.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Would you pass me some of that healing?
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to eat from what's on the platter. I'm going to lick the platter. pass me some of that prosperity.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory be to God. I preach myself plumb happy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, far above all principality and power. Now, I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of Ephesians. Now, the 17th verse of that first chapter, where we started reading in the 16th verse, excuse me. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that? The Father of glory. Okay? All right. Third chapter, 14th verse. See, he's still talking about the same thing here. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom? Of the Father, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You, by covenant, carry the name of Jesus as your very own family name. That gives you awesome authority. Gloria Copeland doesn't, by covenant, she didn't take my name. She became my name.
Oh, glory to God. Woo. Hallelujah.
We're one.
Amen.
I didn't give her my name.
Glory.
I gave her me. She gave me her.
Amen.
Now we both got the same name. She can empty my bank account and not think anything about it. And I got news for you. I wish she would. I love to bless that woman. Hallelujah. Because I remember when I didn't have money enough to, you know, I couldn't buy her an ice cream cone, much less anything that's worth anything. And I keep wanting to buy her more and more and more stuff. And I just listen for her all the time to say something, you know. Oh. Men, listen up. Show makes life nice. And when there's a problem, you take the blame.
Amen.
I don't care whether you did it or not. Take the blame. Stop the fuss. Go buy something. Oh, yeah. Amen. Glory to God. We were in a meeting in Great Britain. We were there in London. And the day we were about to go to the airport, we were going later on that afternoon, and to get in the airplane and go home. And so she came in, she said, Kenneth, and this is extremely unusual for her. She said, today I saw the prettiest car I have ever seen in my life. I said, what was it? She said, I think it was a Jaguar. I said, can you describe it to me? She said, oh. Man, I'm really interested. When she goes, well, and she told me, the color and all that. So, and so we got everything all packed up, and we're headed to the airport, and we walked out the front door of the hotel. She said, "There it is, right there." He said, "That's it, right there." So, just as quick as we got back home, I started hunting. Dwayne, my chief pilot, head of the aviation department, found one. I bought that car. I'm as fast as I could get the paperwork done on it. And drove it. It's a little sky blue Jaguar convertible with a navy blue top and white seats. Oh. That thing is just nasty nice. I mean, it is so pretty. So, and so I put the top down and drove it home. She said, my car. Seen her do that in the 55 years we've been married.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
It still is giving me goosey bumps every time I think about it.
Glory.
Oh.
Glory.
So I just had my 80th birthday last December.
Praise God. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory.
That woman
Glory.
Bought me a new Corvette.
Yes. Glory. 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 Amen.
Everybody ought to have a wife like that, man. But you understand the Jaguar came first. Hey.
Amen.
Well, I don't understand that preacher taking my offerings and buying all them fancy cars. Well, why don't you just go wait in the car till we get done here? I didn't spend your money on it in the first place. Well, where'd you get your money? Wouldn't you like to know? Now, what does that have to do with tonight's message? Absolutely nothing. I just thought you wanted to know. No. Hey, this is the kind of hilarious life that's waiting on someone when you walk in the authority of God. Amen. And when God told us to stay out of debt and never borrow again, it frightened me. Gloria said she married me in my notes. I didn't know it. And when I found that scripture, and it said, owe no man anything but to love him. Now, you can't build any kind of doctrine on one scripture. In fact, that scripture wasn't talking specifically about money, but money comes into it when you follow the teaching of it. Owe no man anything but to love him. I said, well, I'll get the Amplified, you know, it'll get me out of this. It said, stay out of debt. I said, Gloria! And she walked in the bedroom there where I was studying for the service that night. And I said, read that. She read it and her face fell just like mine did, you know. Because, you know, there went her house. There went my airplane. Can't borrow money. She said, well, she put a finger on it. She said, if that's what the book says, that's what we're going to do. Now see, had we said, you can't do that, this is impossible. And then had we really got studying that really close in that one scripture, we could have wormed out of it because it wasn't talking specifically about money. Oh, yeah. Okay, so but we didn't do that. We began to study the rest of the word because I found out that debt is part of the curse. God wants you to be the head, not the tail. Amen. He wants you serving him, not the lender. Amen. The borrower is servant of the lender.
Yes, amen.
I said, Lord, why is it here? There's not anything in the Bible wrong with going to a doctor. We've been through all of this. And I mean, doctors are wonderful, particularly spirit-filled ones that know what they're doing in both realms, medical and spiritual. But what's wrong with going to a banker? He said, Kenneth, when you go to a doctor, you don't have to enter covenant with him. But in order to go to the banker, I have to bow my knee. I got to sign up and swear.
Yes, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
It's dangerous. Yes, sir. Anyway. The body is named. Not just the head. The body has the same authority as the head. Let's go back over there and read that again in that first chapter. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now listen, his body is the fullness of him. Jesus cannot, I didn't say he would not, he cannot accomplish the will of the Father in the earth with just his head.
Amen.
You remember that scripture in the Old Covenant said that called him the one that the government shall be on his shoulders? Not his head, on his shoulders. It's the body that is the carrier of the government under Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we begin to realize and understand this and step up, then begin to deal from this position instead of this position. Amen. Well, it just seems like to me the devil just camps on my doorstep. Well, run him off.
Amen.
He ain't got no business on your doorstep.
Amen.
My mother, I'm telling you, my mother come down on Satan like the hammer of Thor, man. I'm telling you, she just mean where he's concerned. Mother started a prayer group, and it got so big you couldn't park around my dad's house. And so it went on for several years, and it just got so big that she finally just turned it over to a young man to pastor, and it started a church, and they got a building outside. And then she waited a couple of years, started another one, and it did the same thing again. And so then did that several times. I couldn't get in my dad's driveway. Cars were all over that place. And so I had to park outside like everybody else. Well, it was dark, and I'm walking up the front step, and there were two fellows. I knew who they were, but they didn't see me. And I knew there was a couple of Baptist preachers. And one of them said, I'm telling you, that beats all ours. The other one said, I know it. He said, that's the first time in my life I ever felt sorry for the devil. He said, I'm telling you, that woman got through with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That authority is real.
Amen.
It is real. Thank you, Lord. That name. Faith in the name itself. Go with me to Proverbs 18:10. Simple scripture, but profound. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, not a mountain. A tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. 17th chapter of John. Verse 11, Jesus is praying just moments before he went to the cross. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I kept them in it. He wasn't saying, in your name I kept them. He said, I kept them in that tower.
Yes.
I kept them in that protected place.
Wow, wow, wow.
I kept them inside your name.
Wow, 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 wow.
See, it's not just the string of letters that spell God's name. No. It's not a moniker. It's not an identification piece.
Right, right.
What I'm seeing is difficult to say because it's a spiritual thing and it's omnipresent.
Wow, glory.
What is a name? The name can do anything the man can do. If the man's no good, the name's no good. And if the man's no good, then his name won't do anything either. It's worthless. How do you tell the power behind a name? I always like to tell this story. Ronnie Roberts, Brother Roberts' oldest son, got out of the military. And when he got home, you know, he's just a young guy. And he kind of got tired of being a Roberts, you know. I'm going to make my own way here. So he needed a car. He just got out of the service, needed a car, and went to the bank to get a loan for the car. And, you know, he's just Ronnie Roberts. And the banker called him in there and he said, son, I'd like to loan you the money for this car, but he said, I don't have enough to go on. You hadn't got any collateral. Now, what do they say about a deal like that? He would be loaning it to him on his name. Well, he didn't have any name. It's just Ronald Roberts. And there's no money behind it. He hadn't got anything. He just got out of the service. Mustering out pay, which wouldn't even buy the car. And so Ronnie said, sir, would it do any good? Now, this is a Tulsa bank. Would it do any good if I told you Oral Roberts was my dad? He's, boy, why didn't you tell me in the first place? Well, of course, and he just wrote, go buy your car. All of a sudden, he got a name change. What did he do? He went over and got in his daddy's name.
Glory, hallelujah.
He got inside there. Oral didn't have to go down there. The banker didn't have to call him. Just being his son was good enough.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Doesn't that do something for you?
Hallelujah. Glory.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The name. How do you measure that name? What is the difference between the name Copeland, I'm talking about financially now, what's the difference between the name Copeland and the name Rockefeller? the moment I said Rockefeller.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I might not even be talking about the rich Rockefellers. But if his name's Rockefeller, I don't think about the poor ones. I think about the rich ones. Now, in order to judge the power behind the Rockefeller name, then you have to be able to measure it. You have to be able to measure the wealth. You have to be able to measure all the assets. You have to be able to measure what their influence is in this part of the world or that part of the world. And there are Rockefellers that have higher ranks than the other parts of the family. I remember when Winthrop Rockefeller, when we were over in Arkansas, I worked for the company that provided pilot service to him. We kept his airplane and serviced it and all that, and he needed to go somewhere. Well, we provided pilots for him. So. But then, all of a sudden, he became head of the Rockefeller family. Wow. Boy, it changed everything. We couldn't just go fly up there to Petit Jean Mountain, just walk around up there any way we wanted to anymore. No, man, I mean, there's security on that mountain, man, alive. I mean, you go walking around there very much, somebody's going to shoot you. Well, what was the difference? A bunch of difference. Station. He advanced in responsibility over that vast financial empire. How are you going to measure the power and authority of the name of Jesus? You're going to have to be able to measure God. And you can't do it.
Wow, 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 wow.
That name.
Wow.
It's your name.
Hallelujah.
You not only, hey, you don't just have the right to use it. You own it. If it owns you. Now you have to walk circumspectly. Because of the name. Don't be messing up the family name, okay? And you need to recognize the fact. Now let me just tell you this little story and illustrate what I'm trying to say. For Satan to understand that he has to obey what I say. He has to obey me whether I say that name or not.
Amen.
Because he knows that I know and that I have faith in that name.
Yes.
I'm not advocating you quit using the name of Jesus. Don't go off and tell that lie. I'm doing this to explain to you when a general walks into the room, he doesn't have to say, I'm telling you to go to, no. He can walk in there in civilian clothes and tell you what to do. And you better snap too. Amen. Now recognizing authority and walking and living under authority is part, a huge part of this. What am I talking about? Honor and respect. Honor and respect.
Amen.
We need to honor one another.
Yes,
and don't just be slopping around. Amen. When your pastor walks in the room, stand up. God has assigned that pastor. And you obviously believe that the Lord put you under that pastor's authority. Well, now, you're not going to get any authority if you're going to argue and crab about everything the man or the woman says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether I agree with what he wants to do with that or not, but he's pastor and I'm not.
Yeah.
When I go preach in a church, I'm under that pastor's authority. I'm not going to just cut crosswise of him.
Amen.
honor and respect is huge in the kingdom of God. You remember, don't you remember what God said? He that honors me, I honor him. He that dishonors me, well, I don't even want to finish the sentence. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I deny you before the Father. It isn't because he wants to, it's because he has to. Hallelujah. This whole, there has not been honor and respect taught in our schools for five generations. And I'm sad to say that it's not being taught in church either. You know, one of the few places you can get a lesson on honor and respect is at boot camp in the Marine Corps. All right. You're going to have to go through that honor class, and if you can't pass that honor class, you ain't coming in the Corps. It is so important on the battlefield. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.
You get anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Tonight?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to learn how to come to the place where you're not getting sick and getting healed and getting sick and getting healed and getting sick and getting healed.
That's good.
Get healed and stay that way.
Amen.
Stay in divine health.
Glory to God.
Take care of yourself, spirit, soul, body. Take care of your mind. You have the mind of Christ.
Yeah,
use it. That's the anointing that is on Jesus' mind. And it's available to us. Don't be going around saying, I guess I'm just losing my mind. What kind of a disrespectful statement is that? Here you are, a born-again child of God named after Jesus himself, and you have the mind of Christ. You have the Spirit of God. You have... You're one spirit with him, and you go around laughing about losing your mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Now, religious flesh recalls at this. I'm going to read one more scripture to you before I go get in the airplane and go home. Philippians chapter 2. This is talking about the same thing. Read in verse 9, and then we're going to back up. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, this says a name. Well, we already know better than that because of what we read in Ephesians, the first chapter. He gave him his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things. Notice that it's italicized. He's talking about names. Above every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of names in heaven, names in earth, and names under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, back up to the fifth verse. Carnal religious minds recoil at this and can hardly say it. That's the reason it said, let this mind be in you. You have to make a decision to think this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal in authority. Equal in that name. Equal in the name of Jesus. When you speak that name, every demon in hell has got to bow his knee. But they know when you believe it and when you don't. The devil is a fear sniffer. He's sniffing for fear. And if it's there, and you're speaking the name of Jesus, and he's, really? Bow to you? And I just heard you talking about how you're scared of this and scared of that. But when you rise up and you say, Father, you said in your word of fear not. I may be standing there with my knees knocking. I refuse to fear. I have not been given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, dynamis. Love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. Fear-filled mind, not a sound mind. But I want you to know, praise God, I refuse to fear. I refuse it, Satan. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, after whom I have been named, take your hands off my child. Amen. You start doing things like that, you know, Satan. You know. You know I'm committed to walk in love. Amen. You know I walk by faith. You know you can't touch me. Amen. Glory. And just read 1 John, the whole fifth chapter to him. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus.
Yes. Anointed one.
That's me.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 And he will pack up his stuff and get. He is fear the way God is love. He cannot be anything but afraid. And you just come across with just a small amount of resistance and he'll run. One translation said, in stark terror. If we only knew how really afraid of us he is. You want me to tell you something?
Yeah.
You want me to tell you what his worst idea there is?
Yes.
Is a born again. Holy Ghost baptized tongue talking, healing believing, word of faith preacher that's rich. Because when you break that money barrier, that's the last threat he's got. That's his last threat. Just jerk the money out from him. World War II. Bonhoeffer got other pastors together and they're going to talk to Hitler about what he's doing to the Jews, that it's wrong, and they're going to confront him. 3,000 of them. That's a big voice. So he just threatened to take their pensions away from them. Bonhoeffer was the only one left. 3,000 of them walked off on account of money. And then they're going to get on me for preaching prosperity. It don't do no good. Get on me if you want to.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm going home. Stand with me, please. Say it, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
I'm, not a doubter.
I'm bold.
I'm bold.
I'm blood brother.
I'm blood brother.
To the lion of the tribe of Judah.
I'm named after him.
He's my Lord.
And I'm his very own child.
I'm thrilled.
I'm on fire.
I'm on the word.
I'm full of faith.
I have the hallelujah of God in my heart.
I have the hallelujah of God in my heart. have the power of God in my faith,
I have the power of God
in my spirit,
in my spirit,
in my mind,
in my mind,
and in my feet. Glory to God.
Feet.
I walk fully shod in the preparation of the gospel.
I have on the helmet of
salvation. I have on the breastplate of righteousness. All my loins are girded about with the truth. And on that belt of truth is the sword of the Spirit. But above all, I have the shield of faith. I quench all of the fiery arrows of the enemy. I have authority. This is God's armor. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I am fully armed, well able, willing, and obedient. I have his authority. I have his name. And together, you and me, we're more than 10,000. I receive healing in my head.
I receive healing in my head.
I receive healing in my ears.
I receive healing in my ears.
I receive healing in my eyes.
I receive healing in my eyes.
I receive healing in my nose and sinuses.
I receive healing in my mouth.
I receive healing in my
mouth.
I receive healing in my throat.
I receive healing in my throat.
I receive healing in my chest.
I receive healing in my chest.
I receive healing in my stomach.
I receive healing in my stomach.
I receive healing in my back.
I receive healing in my back.
I receive healing in my kidneys.
I receive healing in my kidneys.
I receive healing in all of my internal organs.
I receive healing in all my internal organs.
I'm healed on the inside.
I'm healed on the inside.
And I'm healed on the outside.
I'm healed,
I'm healed in my hips.
I'm healed in my legs.
I'm healed in my legs.
I'm healed in my legs.
Oh, I got the dance in my leg. I'm healed in my thighs.
I'm healed in my
calves. And my feet are full of joy. I am healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm bold in the Lord. I encamp in his camp. And his angels are encamped round about me. Power of his might. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm able. He's ready. He's willing. He's able. And together we have the victory. And this is the victory. This is the victory. Cometh the word.